This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. We were on the discussion about people who are poor. They will be entering into Jannah before those people who are wealthy. And there's a number of ahadith that we covered which discussed how much earlier a person who is poorer, who doesn't have much, how much earlier they will go into Jannah compared to a person who has a lot. And clearly the reason is that people who have more, they've got more to answer for, because every cent, every pound, every extra bit we have, we will be questioned about it. However, does that mean that to enter Jannah, then we should just get rid of everything? So it's an important note and a clarification to provide here, because you're going to have many wealthy people who have spent huge amounts in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who've done a lot of good with their money. So if they've done that, then are they inferior to somebody who is poor and enters Jannah first? Are they worse off? So there's a difference between entering Jannah and the place you get in Jannah. And this is what Ibn al-Qayyim mentions here. He says that there's a very important clarification to be made here, which is that just because somebody may enter Jannah before another person, it doesn't mean that the one who entered first will have a higher place in Jannah. So the wealthy may get an entry that's later, however, he will go higher based on what he has done. So that's why he says that we have some people who will enter Jannah without any hisab whatsoever. There's a group from this ummah that is promised that they will be entered into paradise with no questioning, reckoning whatsoever. They are the first 70,000, right? We know about that narration. Then there are some that are going to be questioned, obviously, who are better than others. Meaning among all of the people who are going to be questioned, aside from the 70,000, clearly within them there are different types of people. So some of those who are questioned are going to be better than some others. The wealthy one is going to be questioned about his wealth and riches. But if he is found that he has been grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah has given, and he has tried to become closer to Allah, and try to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with different types of righteousness and worship, goodness, sadaqah, charity, and other acts of welfare, then he is going to be higher up in Jannah than the faqir, who may have gotten in faster. Right? Who doesn't have those same actions? Because the faqir is not going to have the same actions. Because he doesn't have the sadaqah, he doesn't have that kind of money. So once you're inside, then there's a different story once you're inside. It might take a bit longer because you've got more luggage, right? Luggage is being checked. But once you get there, then you get a better hotel, right? The poor person has got nothing to share. Just walks right through. No bag in his hand. The wealthy guy has got lots of bags. They want to check all his bags. But once he gets inside, then mashallah, he's got everybody waiting for him to go into VIP lounge. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not overlook the reward of those who have done good deeds. So there are two issues here. One is who gets in first, that's one merit. The other one is who gets a better place. Alhamdulillah. And there will be some people who may get both for some good reason. Right, the next section is about all of those people that have been mentioned specifically in hadith about who are going to enter Jannah. The category of people who will enter Jannah. What are the characteristics? Slightly different from some of the previous chapters. So there's some verses here and some ahadith here that will tell you about the general grouping of people who will enter Jannah. We've had some hadith before which talk about specific characteristics. Specific deeds, people who do specific deeds will get into Jannah. This one is about the general kind of people who will get into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, it's a very long discussion. وَسَارِعُوا أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَن يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين. And rush and hurry and hasten to the forgiveness from your Lord, and then also to a Jannah garden whose width or breadth is like the heavens and the earth, that has been prepared for the muttaqeen, the ones who have taqwa, who have God-fearingness. Who are these people? Allah then describes them. Alladhina, those who spend both in prosperity when they have and in difficulty, in adversity. They spend in both times. None of those states make them forget Allah. And they are controlling, subduing of their anger and their wrath. They are pardoning and forgiving of people. And Allah loves the good doers. That's just a comment in between. Allah loves the good doers. Those who, if they ever do end up doing a vulgarity or a wrong or some kind of immorality, or they oppress themselves, then they remember Allah. So Allah's in their mind. Even if they've done something wrong, they remember Allah. And then they seek forgiveness for their sin. That's the characteristic of a good person. He may do something wrong, but then he remembers Allah and then he seeks forgiveness for his sin. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who else is going to forgive your sin except Allah? Like, who else is there to forgive your sin except? That's a kind of send a clause in between. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّ عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. And these people are those who do not persist and continue to do wrong that they've started. They don't continue. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. While they know. If they don't know, that's different. But if they know, they don't. أُولَٰئِكَ. These are the people whose reward is forgiveness from their Lord. And gardens that beneath which rivers flow, in which they will dwell forever. What a beautiful, what a wonderful and magnificent reward for those who do good. For the workers. That is the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in here that He has prepared Jannah for the muttaqeen, not for others. Because the whole discussion here is muttaqeen, and then He describes some of the characteristics of muttaqeen. So Jannah is for the muttaqeen. Then He mentioned what are the characteristics of the muttaqeen. He mentions that they will spend to do good for others, both in goodness and difficulty. Because it's easy to spend when it's all good. You've got extra. Okay, khalas, labas, take it. When you get difficulty, oh, I don't have enough myself. Subhanallah. I don't have to pay the zakat this year. I don't have enough money. I've got lots of debt. So I don't spend. And then he mentions that they are those who prevent harming people by controlling their anger. And they do not avenge, they do not take revenge by forgiving, they forgive instead. And then he mentions their state between themselves and their Lord in terms of if they sin, then they seek forgiveness. Right? In fact, if they sin, they immediately oppose that sin by doing dhikr of Allah. That's their state. And tawbah and istighfar. And absolutely do not persist. This is their state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the earlier part was how they deal with people. So they're fulfilling their hukukullah and hukukul ibad, both of them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين. These are the pioneers, the forerunners, the initial forerunners from the muhajirin. They earned a huge reward by being the first to accept. They're the early adopters. Not the early adopters of the iPhone, but the early adopters of something like this, which is a message from Allah. And the Ansar, so those two, and then anybody who follows them with goodness, who follows on their path. Allah, make us of those. Allah is satisfied with them, they are satisfied with Allah. Are you satisfied with Allah? The way Allah has made you, kept you, given you? That's a question to ask ourselves. The kind of satisfaction we have with Allah, hopefully that is the kind of satisfaction Allah will have with us. So if we increase our satisfaction with Allah, and you're always happy with Allah, you are satisfied with the way Allah has made you, yes, you ask Him for better, right? You ask Him for forgiveness, then Allah will be satisfied with you. Allah has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow. Always these gardens with rivers. There's always this water and garden, water and garden. There's no garden without river, without water. There's just no garden, it seems, without water. And it's beneath which rivers flow. That's going to be amazing. What kind of aquifers they are, or how it runs. It's going to be some amazing setup, how it happens. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. I mean, the closest I've seen to any description like this is in the Alhambra Palace in Andalusia in Spain. They've still kept those gardens. They are just massive, those gardens. And you can just keep going through them and just enjoy. It's just beautiful. The way they've got the water running through and the flowers and the plants and the trees. And again, it's nothing compared to Jannah. But that is actually called Jannatul Arif. That's what they called it, Jannatul Arif. The kings of that time, unfortunately, they didn't stay for too long with it, because I think the focus became too much, these things. Fortunately, you can't make a Jannat of this world. You just can't make a Jannat of this world. If Allah gives you a Jannat in this world in terms of your thought and your comfort of your heart, make a Jannat in your heart for this world, not the outside. Right? It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy yourself, but no. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. So all is this, you will always remain in there forever. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the mighty success, the mighty win. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here that He has prepared this Jannah for now Muhajirin Ansar. It's getting more specific. They are obviously of the Muttaqeen and anybody who's followed them, their followers in goodness. So there can be no ambition for anybody who's away from their path that they will get to Jannah. فَلَا مَطْمَعَ لِمَنْ خَرَجَ عَنْ طَرِيقَتِهِمْ فِيهَا. No ambition, no hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, third verse, Surah Al-Anfal now. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Verily, the believers are only those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble with reverence. Their hearts undergo a change. Not that it doesn't make a difference. They're more affected by the music in the movie and the emotion of the actors. This doesn't affect them. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ. When Allah's verses, signs are read to them, recited to them, the verses are recited to them, it increases them in iman. And they rely on their Lord. They fully rely on their Lord. These are the ones who establish the salat and spend of that which we have provided them. These are the true believers. These are the believers in truth. For them is darajat. For them are levels. These high stages by their Lord and forgiveness and a noble sustenance. That's what they will get. Surah Al-Anfal. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as those who fulfill His rights internally and externally. and they are also fulfilling the rights of others. So now we understand from these three verses that it's all about fulfilling the rights of Allah and fulfilling the rights of others. And we've got a general picture now of a jannati. And the whole point of mentioning this is that we want to see if we fit this bill here. Now there's a few hadith here. The first hadith is from Sahih Muslim, from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He says that, he relates that when it was the Khaybar, the day of Khaybar, the battle of Khaybar, there was a group of Sahaba who came along and they were saying, so-and-so is shaheed, so-and-so is a martyr, so-and-so is a martyr. They were mentioning the martyrs. They were going past and they saw this man and they said, he's also a shaheed. Somebody who'd been martyred, he said, he's also a martyr. The Prophet ﷺ said, kalla, absolutely not, never. Inni ra'aytuhu minan nar, finnar. Inni ra'aytuhu finnar. I've seen him in the hellfire. Fi burdatin ghallaha aw aba'a. He had basically betrayed people's trust. He'd taken a sheet from the booty. So because of that, he's in hellfire. Ya Allah. Even though he's martyred in the path of Allah, it seems. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, Yabn al-Khattab, O son of Khattab, idhab fanadi fi nas, go and announce in the people that innahu la yadkhulu al-jannata illa al-mu'minun. The only people that will enter Jannah will be the believers. And so he said, he went, I went, and I, that's what I announced. Ala innahu la yadkhulu al-jannata illa al-mu'minun. Only the believers will enter Jannah. Now, don't fit two and two together and say he lost his faith. Because he's saying that only believers will enter Jannah. This person, he's in the hellfire. That seems to indicate that anybody who steals something, robs something, or you can say, take something from the booty, will not enter Jannah. They're not believers. So the ulama have looked at this and the way they've explained it is that the person is in hellfire initially, eventually he will. So it's only the believers that will enter Jannah without having to go to hellfire. The true believers who are not doing this. So this is the way you reconcile that. But what we understand from here, obviously, is that believers are entering into Jannah, not non-believers. Another hadith in Sahih Muslim. It's a long hadith. I'm just going to mention the beginning and the end to you because that's what's relevant to our discussion. It's not a very commonly read hadith generally, but it's from Iyad ibn Himar al-Mujashi'i. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said in his khutbah, أَلَا إِنَّ رَبِّي أَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُعَلِّمَكُمْ مَا جَهِلْتُ مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي يَوْمِي هَذَا. My Lord has commanded me to teach you of those things which you are unaware of, among those things which he has taught me today. And then he mentions a number of things, and at the end he says, وَأَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ ثَلَاثَةٌ. There are three types of people into Jannah. There are three types of people that will go in Jannah. ذو سلطان مقسط متصدق موفق. In another version it says منفق. That's one. Who is this? This is ذو سلطان, the one who has power, some kind of sovereignty, some kind of leadership, some kind of kingdom maybe, who is مقسط, he's just. Because generally to have power and be just is difficult. Power intoxicates, causes you to, you know, if somebody gets you angry, then you act unjustly towards them. And maybe because you have power over things, you do things. Selfishness overcomes you. So if this person is controlled in his temperament, he's got power, he's got justice, and he's a spender in the path of Allah. He gives charity. And if you read this as muwaffaq, it means the one who's been guided, divinely guided, or munfiqun means he's spending. Number two, rajulun rahimun raqiqul qalb. لِكُلِّ ذِي قُرْبَى وَمُسْلِمٍ. The second category, you don't have to have any money for this. You just have to have a heart for this one. It says, a man who is merciful, soft-hearted, رَقِيقُ الْقَلْبِ, gentle-hearted, towards all of his relatives and to the Muslimin in general. The why is relatives is because you generally deal more with relatives, and things can go wrong. The more you deal with somebody, the more potential there is to get wrong, you know, something happen. But then it's about having that kind of temperament that you're able to avoid and duck, you know, when a blow comes to you. You just kind of duck it and carry on. You know. Number three is عَفِيفٌ مُتَعَفِّفٌ ذُو عِيَالٍ. The chaste one, who wants to remain chaste, and he's got a big family. Right. This is generally, in another version it mentions about this person is the one who's in need, but he abstains from asking people or for doing mean things or lowly things. You know, if you've got a lot of children and you don't have much money, then unfortunately a lot of the time shaitan justifies to you that you can do pickpocketing, you can do begging, you can do these lowly things. And unfortunately there's people who break the hands of their children at a young age, twist them so that when they grow deformed, so that that is their asset to get money. They go for to Saudi or whatever, and then they just put them in the crowd and people give. Unfortunately, it's just this is what people do. They'll actually break their hand or burn them or do something like this just so that it's just easy life for them. It's just like psychologically they've decided we're not going to do anything. This is how we're going to earn our money. So just saying that, no, this person's got a lot of family, he doesn't have much money, but he wants to stay chaste. How Allah loves that person. Because he is doing sabr. And then he mentions that there are five categories of people of hellfire. الضعيف الذي لا زبر له الذين هم فيكم تبعا لا يبغون أهلا ولا مالا. One is the weak person. The weak person who also doesn't have any aql. He doesn't have any intelligence either. They're not even looking for wealth or family. Khain. A betrayer of trust. An unfaithful individual. He will use every moment to any opportunity he gets, as small as it may be, he will try to be treacherous. Another one is a person who, morning or evening, he is going to try to deceive you, whether it comes to your family or whether it comes to your wealth. He's going to deceive you somehow. Just basically mean people here. And then the Prophet also mentioned the bakhil and bukhl and kathib, the lying and miserliness. وَالشِّنْذِيرَ الْفَاحِشِ or الْفَحَاشِ, the very vulgar person. They're just very rude and vulgar. And some people take pride in that attitude, to be as vulgar as possible. They swear. If they don't swear in a sentence, it doesn't sound right. It gives them power. You know, swearing is this psychological, if you do some studies on swearing, it actually gives you this psychological power, this feeling that I'm getting something out of it. And this is in all languages, it's not just in English. You know, you've got the Urdu swears and the Punjabi swears. And then he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me that you should be humble, all of you should be humble, until nobody should be arrogant over another person. And nobody should be tyrannical over another person. So again, here it gives you the three categories of paradise. Then in Bukhari and Muslim from Haritha ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu, he says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, should I tell you who the people of Jannah are? Kullu da'ifin mutada'af. Law aqsama ala Allahi la abarra. Ala ukhbirukum bi ahli an-nar. Kullu utullin jawadhin mutakabbir. Shall I tell you who the inhabitants of paradise are?
It's every weak person who is considered weak, looked on as weak. People don't. But he is so close to Allah. I didn't mention that here, but he says, "Law aqsama 'ala Allah." But he is such that if he swears by Allah, Allah fulfills his oath for him. But in the sight of people, he is weak, and he looks weak, and he's taken as weak. But he's so connected to Allah. That's a very difficult. That's why you should be careful who you say things to. And he says, "Shall I tell you of the people of hellfire?" It's all of these arrogant, stubborn, and proud individuals who are just very arrogant, stubborn, and vulgar. That's the people of hellfire. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu relates hadith of Imam Ahmad that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ahl al-nar kullu ja'zariyin, jawadin, mustakbirin, jamma'in, manna'in." That the people of hellfire, the one worthy of hellfire is every ja'zari. Again, it means this person is harsh and vulgar. Harsh and vulgar. And the one who is jawadin and who is arrogant. Jamma'in manna'in. This jawad is al-jamu' al-manu'. It's basically using the same meanings in different words. He's mentioning it. It means a person who likes to gather a lot and doesn't give out. So he always wants to gather, but doesn't give out. The hoarder. And Ahlul Jannah, al-du'afa al-maghloobun. The people of Jannah are the weak ones who have been dominated, subjugated. So yes, there's lots of people in the world in different countries who have been subjugated, which seems like an apparent adversity, a traversity in the apparent side of things. But maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something great in store for the Palestinians, for example. Maybe that's what the case is. That's why they still hold their heads up high. If you go there, that's what you see. Some of the most proudest people I've seen are the people of Jerusalem. As their whatever their status may be, but they are still very, very, mashallah, very held up high, still proud individuals, despite the subjugation and the oppression that they go through. Allah grant them the strength. You can tell, that's how they are. They dress well, even though they are oppressed. If you've been to Jerusalem, you'll see it. They are dressed well, clean. They're not begging on the street like lowly individuals. You get a few weird ones here and there, everywhere you get. But they're not like other places where they just make it seem like, you know, we got nothing or whatever. They still hold their head high. Ya Allah. The next hadith is related from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ala ukhbirukum bi rijalikum min ahli al-jannah." Should I tell you from among your people who are the people of Jannah? So then he listed a number of people. Now listen to this list. An-Nabiyyu fil Jannah, the Prophet is in paradise. As-Siddiqu fil Jannah, the one who's very, very truthful in both his words and his actions is in Jannah. The Shaheed is in Jannah. And Ar-Rajul Yazuru Akhahu Nahiyat al-Misri, La Yazuruhu illallah fil Jannah. And also that man who goes to visit his brother at the end of the city, on the outskirts of the city, the only reason he visits him is for Jannah, for Allah. Then he's in Jannah as well. وَنِسَاءُكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. And your women who are of the people of Jannah, who are they? He described them. الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودِ. The ones who are very loving in their behavior, in their emotion. They're very loving. They're not harsh and gruff and masculine. Right? These are the women with soft power. That's what I tell women. You want to overcome your husband? Don't use hard power. It's not going to work. I tell them all the time. And there's just a case I dealt with recently. She tried hard. It didn't work. Divorce was going to... And I think she finally realized. And when she changed her tact, mashallah, they're getting back together, inshallah. Do you understand? Allah has made, it's a wonderful statement I read the other day. Men and women are not equal. They are mutually superior. Now, Shaykh Abdul Hakim Murad, this is such a wonderful statement. Men and women are not equal, they are mutually superior. Very eloquent statement, which means that both are superior to one another in their own sense. And they have to play that part of what they're superior in. They have to each play that part. And if they don't, then there's an imbalance. So it's very important to understand this. So the woman of Jannah is the Wadud, the one who is very loving. Al-Walud, mashallah, very fertile, produces kids, not those who don't want kids for their career or whatever it is. Allati idha ghadiba aw ghadibat, the one who, if he gets angry or she gets angry, so if there's some anger, which is going to happen, ja'at hatta tada' yadaha fi yadi zawjiha, she is one who still comes and takes her hand and goes and puts it into her husband's hand. Right? Even when angry, she does this. And then she says, La adhuqu ghumdan hatta tarda. I'm not going to taste any sleep. I'm not going to sleep at all until you're satisfied. Tries to make it up as soon as possible. Now, somebody says, well, what about the man? Shouldn't he do that? Yes, he should do that as well. But generally, because women are more emotional, they're more likely to overcome. And there are men who are sometimes like women who get very emotional. You know. But he's saying that she can be the one who comes and sorts it out. She's playing the superior role in that case. She gets Jannah for that. And he's not saying that if she doesn't, then she doesn't get Jannah, but that is one way for her to get Jannah. This hadith, as I mentioned, it's related from a number of sources. It is weak, but it's related from Ibn Abi Dunya, Fil Ikhwan. Imam Nasa'i has related a part of it in his Sunan al-Kubra, Tabarani in his al-Kabir, and a number of others. Imam Bukhari is related, not in his Sahih, but in his Tariq al-Kabir, Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman. And so the hadith is a bit da'if, but mashallah, it's there. Imam Nasa'i just mentioned the women part of it. So that women part, which is the part that people will be very interested in generally anyway. Okay, a few more hadith. Ibn Majah relates in his Sunan that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Ahlul Jannah is the one who fills his ears with the good praise of people while he's listening. Right? You'll understand from the second part. And the people of hellfire is the one who fills his ear with the evil of people while he's listening. So basically, the one who's good is the one who's always saying good or listening to good, engendering good about people, and the Ahlul Nar are the people who are generally in gatherings in which bad things are said about people. In Bukhari and Muslim, from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, there's another hadith, a janaza passed by. Janaza is a funeral that's passing by. And people said, mashallah, what a nice man, how good he is. They said some good things about this person. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just suddenly said, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. Necessary, necessary, necessary. Definitely, definitely, definitely. Basically saying, as they made that, oh, it must be, well, what a wonderful, what a one. Yes, yes, yes. For sure, sure, sure. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Because wajabat in Arabic means necessary. But in English, we probably say, surely, surely, surely. Then Umar radiallahu anhu says, then after that, another one passed by, probably sometime later, whatever, and the people started saying bad things. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again said, surely, surely, for sure, for sure. So then Umar radiallahu anhu said, my mother and father be sacrificed for you. One funeral passed and you, it was good praise and you said, for sure, and for sure, for sure. And the other one, it was a bad, it was a criticism there, and you said, for sure, for sure, for sure. It's become necessary. Or so the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever you praise, he'll get Jannah. And whoever you describe as evil, he will get hellfire. Because you are the witnesses of Allah on this earth. You are the witnesses of Allah on this earth. Now this doesn't mean that you can go and start making your decision about him, they'll go to hellfire. You know, he's good and he's bad and he's going to hellfire. It doesn't mean that. It means the general consensus of people, the general kind of feeling of people. Oh, that man must be from Jannah. Okay, khalas. Must be the case. So this is aghlabi. This is the general statement. And of course, sometimes for a certain area, someone may be a big charlatan who's deceived the majority of people and they all praise him and all the rest of it, you know, cult. And the guy is from hellfire. But so this is, it's not like an absolute, but it's general. If you've got lots of people who are praising somebody, then the idea is that he's got some qubuliyya. When qubuliyya descends on the earth, it goes into the hearts of people. And people then generally praise that kind of an individual for the good that they do. That's why there's another hadith here which is related from by Bazzar in his Musnad from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, which is similar. It says, يُوشِكُ أَن تَعْلَمُوا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. It is very close or very likely that you will be able to know the people of Jannah from the people of hellfire. You'll be able to distinguish between them. قَالُوا كَيْفَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How? يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. قَالَ بِالثَّنَاءِ الْحَسَنِ وَالثَّنَاءِ السَّيِّئِ. By good praise or by evil criticism. Again, it gives you that understanding. So the conclusion to all of this chapter is that the people of Jannah are of four types, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this verse in Surah An-Nisa. This kind of sums it up. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whoever is obedient to Allah and His Messenger, then these are those who will be with those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored upon, showered His favored upon, from the prophets, the truthful ones, the martyrs, and the salihin, the righteous ones. And what great company of people these are. What great companions these people are. فَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah make us among them just out of His grace and His generosity. I just want to cover the next chapter very quickly. It's a very short chapter. It's just proving that this ummah will be the majority of the people of paradise. So among all the people who will enter paradise, how much of the people in paradise will be from this ummah, which came last? Do you understand? So out of all of the believers before and all the believers of this ummah, what's the proportion? So first, Bukhari Muslim from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said to us, aren't you satisfied that you be a quarter of the people of paradise? We made takbir, Allahu Akbar, why not? Great. Then he said, aren't you satisfied that you be one third of the people of paradise? Again we made Allahu Akbar. Then he said, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa said, aren't you satisfied that you be half of the people of paradise? And I'll tell you about this. I'll tell you how that's possible. He said that the Muslimin among the kuffar, like the Muslims, in comparison to the kuffar, is just like كَشَعْرَةٍ بَيْضَى. It's just like one white hair on the back of a black buffalo or black bull. Black bull. Just one white hair. That's how many the Muslimin are compared to the kuffar. Or the other way around, white, black hair on a white bull. Another hadith is a bit more clearer. Buraida ibn Hasib from Bukhari. He relates, this is not from Bukhari. This second hadith is from Tirmidhi and Ahmed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahlul Jannah 20 wa 100 saffin. There will be 120 rows of people going to paradise. 120 rows of people going to paradise. Out of which 80 are from this ummah. That gives it what? Two thirds? So it was more than half. Tabarani relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ وَرُبُعُ الْجَنَّةِ لَكُمْ. How would you feel if you had a quarter of Jannah for yourself? And for the rest of them, they had three quarters. The Sahaba said, Allah wa Rasulu ala, Allah and His Messenger know best. Then the Prophet said, okay, how would you like it if you had one third? They said, of course, that's more. Alhamdulillah. How about if you had one half of Jannah? He said, that's even more. Rasulullah then said, he went even beyond that. He was in this state, it seems. Ahlul Jannah, 120 categories or groups, you can say, out of which 80 are for you. And there's numerous ahadith that speak about this, right? Slightly with variations. So what he says is that at the end of the day, they all agree that there's at least a half, right? The minimum a half. Because it's possible that the Prophet ﷺ initially hoped that we would have a half, and thus you have many hadiths that say half. And then Allah gave him that, and then added some more to it. So that's why he says two-thirds. So just because there's difference in some hadiths, where some hadiths mention a half, some hadiths mention three, you know, what is it, two-thirds? That doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that this is, he knew this much, and then Allah gave him some more. That's why Imam Ahmad relates in his Musnad from Abu Zubayr that he heard Jabir radiallahu anhu saying that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Arju an yakuna man yattabi'uni min ummati yawm al-qiyamah rubu'u ahli al-jannah." Qala fa kabbarna, qala fa arju an takuna ash-shatr. Again, same thing. Here in this one it says that I would hope that those who follow me from my ummah on the day of judgment will be a quarter of the Jannah, people of Jannah. We made takbir. Then he said, I would hope that you be a half. So in this one, it's half. In the others, it was more than a half. And this one, this hadith is narration is from Imam Ahmad, but it's according to the conditions of Muslim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The next section is, we will cover this next time, inshallah. It's about, and this is something that I've had a feeling about all the way. Because it says that women will be the majority in hellfire. So people naturally assume by that, that there's going to be very less in Jannah. But that's not what the Prophet ﷺ said. He said they're going to be majority in hellfire, right? But that doesn't stop them from being majority in paradise as well. Because we know that there's going to be a lot more women than men in general. So there's enough to go in hellfire, but there's enough to go in Jannah as well. And that's what this section is about, that women in Jannah will be more than the men. So inshallah we'll look at that next time. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Oh Allah, accept us, inshallah.